Would you turn in your Bibles today to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 15. Jeremiah chapter number 15. This morning, Jeremiah chapter number 15 and verse 16. I want to preach today upon the thought, back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Verse number 15 or 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this precious passage of Scripture. And Father, I pray now that you would help me as I stand here and desire to bring a message that the Spirit of God would see fit to use. Bless today in the service. We need to hear from heaven today. And I pray that you would bless us now, address needs today upon human hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the prophet Jeremiah was an unusual man. Jeremiah was a burdened man. Jeremiah was a prophet that suffered. In fact, he's called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah knew what it was to be burdened. He was burdened primarily about the condition of his people, the nation Israel. Jeremiah suffered. Jeremiah was thrown into prison. Jeremiah went through all kinds of issues and troubles and trials in his life. But Jeremiah learned a great secret. Jeremiah learned a great lesson. He learned the best thing to do was to get back to the Bible. The best thing to do was to depend upon the precious Word of God. The Word of God was the very thing that satisfied him, sustained him, and stimulated him during a difficult time of his life. May I say this morning that I do firmly believe this. I firmly believe that the Bible is still the best prescription for this sin-sickened age. And I'm talking about back to the Bible. When I say back to the Bible, here's what I mean. I mean back to the Bible seriously, not with just the attitude of a book to carry to church, but the book to permeate our lives. I believe today we need more than a book to carry to church. We need a book to permeate our lives. We need not simply a book to hold in our hands, but we need a book to hold in our hearts. It's one thing to handle the Bible, but it's another thing to be handled by the Bible. I believe the great need of the hour is for God's people to be handled by the Bible. Back to the Bible. Now let's look at this remarkable passage of Scripture for just a few moments this morning. Let's look at something, a few things that hopefully maybe will be useful to all of us. You'll notice, number one, first of all, the prophet was brokenhearted. He was brokenhearted. Look at chapter 15, verse number 10. Verse number 10. He said, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither left lent on Ushery, nor men have lent to me on Ushery, yet every one of them doth curse me. You know what Jeremiah is basically saying? He's basically saying, nobody likes me. And then he goes on to say, and he says, I don't even charge interest when I loan money. You know, actually, that's how that translates out. He said, I don't even charge interest when I loan money. But I'm still not liked. People still do not like me. I'm still rejected. I'm still misunderstood. He was a man that was brokenhearted. You know, there's an old adage out that simply says this. If you want to lose a friend, loan them money. You know, there's truth to that statement. There's been a lot of good friends lost over money issues. Over people that's been loaned money and then not paid a debt, next thing you know, you have a friendship that's been ruined. And it happens many times. But now in the case of this prophet here, He's brokenhearted. He's rejected. He tries to do the right thing, even when it comes to the matter of dealing with people financially. Let's say he gives someone some money. He gives them a loan. But he still doesn't charge them interest. It simply lets us know he was an ethical person. He was a caring person. He was a loving person. He was an understanding person. But he still was rejected. The prophet was brokenhearted. Number two, I want you to notice the people were backslidden. Sometimes we talk about someone being backslidden. We wonder, where does that concept come from? Where does the Bible support that? Is it possible for a first person to be backslidden? Well, I want to show you something. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. And then we'll look at verse 6. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people, cast them out of my sight, let them go forth. Let me try to interpret what that verse is saying. God is saying to the prophet, he's saying, if Moses, if Samuel would stand before me, would attempt to intercede, would attempt to pray for the people, the people have become so backslidden, so hard-hearted. They have lost touch with God to the extent that God is saying, even if Moses were to intercede, I would not listen. I would not respond. Now, why was Moses cited? You remember Moses was a person that stood in the presence of God for Israel before. Moses was a great intercessor. God is saying to Jeremiah, the people are so corrupt, they are so hard-hardened, that if we had the greatest prayer warrior, if we had the greatest intercessor to stand before me for the people, I still could not listen to that intercessor because the people have gone too far. That's pretty serious. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou hast gone backward. There you have it. Thou hast gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I'm weary with repenting. In other words, the people have peaked out in sinning. They have gone backwards. They have backslidden. Now, if you go backwards, I'd say you're backslidden. Would you agree with that? If a person spiritually goes backwards, I'm not talking about physically. I can back up towards that baptistry. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm backslidden. We're not talking about physical movement. We're talking about spiritual movement. To go backwards spiritually is technically to be backslidden. Now, I think sometimes we use that term rather loosely and rather lightly in the context of New Testament Christianity, don't we? Sometimes some people have a tendency to hide behind that expression. They'll say, well, I guess I'm just backslidden. It's almost like they're proud of it. I've known people to get out of fellowship with God, or I've known people to get in a spiritual rut, and you try to deal with them, and they'll make a comment like, well, I guess I'm backslidden, as much as to say, well, it's just kind of part and parcel. You know, we do have troubles as a Christian. So I just happen to be backslidden. And the problem is, many times, if we ever talk about being backslidden, we ought to be troubled in saying it. We ought to be bothered. We should never be able to talk lightly about being backslidden. The Christian in fellowship with God abhors the thought of backsliding. I mean, it's a terrible thing to not be in fellowship with the Lord. It is a terrible thing. It's nothing to joke about. It's nothing to laugh about. A Christian has been saved for victory, not for defeat. When God put His hand of grace upon us, God meant for us to go forwards, never to go backwards. Now, here's what I will say. Many aren't backslidden. That's not the problem. They just hadn't slid enough forward. You have to slide forward to qualify to ever slide backwards. I'm talking about getting saved. Some people, the problem could very well be not the fact that they have backslidden. The problem could very well be they have never repented. We need to, first of all, get right with God, get saved by God's grace. And then, we're not going to be joking about backsliding. But here, the prophet said, the people have gone back. They've backslidden. Let's continue. We notice here, the prophet's brokenhearted. The people are backslidden. But oh, I love this. The prescription was the Bible. Verse 16. The prescription was the Bible. We've looked at the verse. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. The prophet found the Bible. He ate the Bible. He digested the Bible. It gave him joy. It set him apart as being identified with the Lord. He found it. He ate it. He digested it. And he enjoyed it. Basically that. It became joy. It became joy to him. And then he was called by thy name. Basically, let me tell you what I think it's saying there. The prophet found the Word of God. He ate it. It produced joy in his heart. And then it set him apart. People begin to say, in other words, they looked at the prophet and they thought of God. When they saw Jeremiah, they thought of the Lord, because this man had digested the Word of God and it aligned him with the Lord. I think that's what that's saying there. Jeremiah the prophet valued God's word as treasure because the Bible says thy words were found. Never overlook simple words in Scripture. Thy words were found. It's like he finds a treasure. It's like he finds a big chunk of gold. It's like he finds a diamond. Thy words were found. That indicates value. He ate it. What does that mean? It means he assimilated it into his being. The word fired him up, kept him consistent in spite of being persecuted. Here is a secret, child of God. You and I, as we deal with life's troubles, as we face problems in life, as we get knocked off balance, as we become persecuted, let's say, as we suffered, the secret is finding the Word of God. The secret is the Scriptures. We've preached that. We've taught that. We support the Beams ministry. We support the Gideons. But I wonder sometimes, has it really sunk in? Have we eaten the Word of God ourselves? We pass it out, we give it out, we support it, but have we eaten it ourselves? How's our diet? How's our diet? I'll tell you, the times are too great. The problems are too immense. Life is too serious for us to simply carry a Bible. It needs to carry us. He found it. He ate it. It stirred him. It gave him joy. And it wasn't long till people started seeing him as aligned with God. The prescription was a Bible. He valued the Word. He managed. Yes, he managed to have a tear in his eye because he was a weeping prophet. But guess what? He had a tear in his eye, but he had joy in his heart. Thank God those two things can go together. We can have tears in our eyes, but still have joys in our life. You see, he ate the secret food of the heavenly manna, and that was what sustained him. Let me say it again. I noticed this morning there's a little bit of quietness here in this building. I don't know what it is. Y'all got some things on your mind? Just see, some services just seem more quieter than others. But it goes without saying that we need more than a surface religion in a shallow profession to guide us through life. We need more than that. My friend, the times are calling for more than a surface religion. These times are tough. We're facing the possibility of a war with North Korea, for one thing. So I'm saying today, economically and militarily and socially, we're in some bad times. But my friend, it's worse than that in the spiritual arena. The devil hates us. The war is raging. People are dying and going to hell. Christians are suffering. Many are defeated. Many are hurting. But it still works. The Bible is still the answer. We need to get back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Prophet said he found the Word. I like that. He found it. You know, many today have the Word, but have they found it? They have it, but have they found it? I have it, and so do you. But have we found it? Is it treasure? Is it a jewel? Is it a thrill to our lives? Does it possess us? Does it control us? Does it motivate us? Are we truly men and women of the book? When this prophet of God went through it, he knew what to do. Back to the Bible, he found the Word. He ate the Word. It became joy to him. And the people started, if we could use an Old Testament, New Testament term in an Old Testament context, the people started calling him a Christian. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Too many people. Now weigh my statement before you judge me. Too many people are known more by the cover of their Bible than by the contents of the Bible. Too many people are known more by the cover of their Bible than the contents. I want to illustrate it like this. This is a King James version of the Bible. KJV is stamped on the cover. And it's my choice. But I will say this. It has KJV on the cover. Yes, it does. But just the cover doesn't nurture my spiritual life. Not just the cover. You see, it's like going to a restaurant, ordering a baked potato. And everybody will tell us, and I've heard this logic, and I believe it. They'll say most of the nutrition is in the peeling. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not yet going to go into a restaurant, order a baked potato, eat the peeling, and throw the potato away. I'm not going to do that. I'm trying to make an illustration here. The Word of God is to be eaten. It's to be assimilated before it's going to do us any good. We need more than just the peeling. Let me tell you something this morning. I know of people that'll fight you over what's on the cover. KJV, and that's what we are. But if you begin to talk to them about what's in the contents, they'll draw a blank. It's the content that'll sustain us. It's the content that'll keep us going. It's what's in the Bible that'll do the work in our hearts and in our souls. We can walk away proudly and say, I'm a King James person. But do we know what's inside that book? The prophet found it. He ate it. He assimilated it. And it put joy in his soul. It fired him up. We've got to be content-driven people. You will never hear this preacher ever apologize for teaching. Never. Never will I stand in a pulpit and apologize to anybody for teaching the Bible. It needs to be taught. We've gotten away from teaching. I will tell you, we need more than a little tidbit for the day. We need more than a thought for the day. We need more than simply a verse for the day. We need the content for the day. He ate it. The word is to be eaten and assimilated, or it's not going to do us any good. It's been said that we're what we eat. Think about that. Everyone has their own eating habits around here. Have you noticed that? Including me. We're what we eat. Sometimes, if that case be true, you could look at me and you could say the preacher is preacher junk. I eat a lot of junk food. I love potato chips. I love spicy foods. I love all that stuff, but it doesn't love me. But you see, it's been said we're what we eat. I know a man in this church that has a weird eating habit. This man mixes coleslaw with everything, and probably even that would include ice cream. I wouldn't dare call his initial or his name, but his initial is Jim. We're what we eat. Somebody wrote, I eat my peas with honey. I've done so all my life. It makes the peas taste funny, but it keeps them on the knife. Someone else wrote, 'Twas in a restaurant they met, brave Romeo and Juliet. He had no dough to pay his debt, so Romeo'd what Juliet. You like that? Eating habits. How's your eating habits? Jeremiah says he found the Word of God. He found it. Have you found it? When was the last time you got alone with it? When was the last time you opened it and read it, and tears begin to flow down your face as conviction struck home in your soul? When was the last time you opened the Bible and saw your title deed to the mansions in the sky, and the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit took over, and the Savior was exalted there in your face as you read the Scriptures? When was the last time? Have you found the Bible? Have you found it? He found it. He found it more than a book. He found it more than a tradition. He found it more than a heritage. He found it as living. And that, my friend, is what it is. He found more than the Bible's cover. He had the contents open to him. And the Word kept him refreshed. It kept him motivated. It kept him stirred up. It gave him joy. It associated him with the author of the Word, because it says, I am called by thy name. You know, I've always said, one of the greatest assets to a good meal is a good appetite. You agree with that? If you don't have a good appetite, nothing tastes right. I mean, everything can be okay in terms of the meal. It can be seasoned right. It can be cooked right. It can have the right spices. It can have everything right. But if you don't have an appetite, it won't taste good. You know, I found down through the years that the more you feed on the Bible, the hungrier you get. I found that to be true. You know, the Bible is almost like eating Chinese food, isn't it? You eat it, and 2 hours later, you're hungry again. That's just the way it is. I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. But I believe that too many people are not serious about the Bible. I hate to admit that. It's basically in a Baptist church. I suspicion that in this church, there are some that aren't too serious about the Word of God. I wish I did not have to say that, but I have reasons for saying that. One thing a pastor gets is a little discernment. Some people, I'm afraid, are not too serious about the Word of God. You wouldn't be caught coming to church without it in your hand. You'll make sure you have your Bible with you, and you may even read it some through the week. You may do that. But my friend, does it have you? Are you feeding on it? You say, preacher, I don't understand it. Have you ever tried this? Oh God, help me to understand what I'm reading. Oh God, give me understanding. Lord, help me to compare Scripture with Scripture. Have you ever gone before the Bible with a prayerful heart asking God to unloose and to open those pages to your heart? We need to do that. He found it. He fed on it. Vance Havner said this, you can have a head full of Scripture and a heart full of sin. You can backslide with an open Bible under your arm. It's not till the book is opened. It's not till the book is read. It's not until the book is prayed over. It's not until we get serious about it controlling us that we'll go very far. We've got to have more than what's on the cover. We've got to have what's in the content. Let me say this about this. He found it. He fed upon it. He was refreshed by it. But oh, please let me give you a couple more points here before we go. He applauded. Note this. He applauded the Word of God. You say, how did he do that, preacher? Well, he says, thy words were found. Thy words were found. His applause was in the form of a recognition. I'm not talking about the clapping of the hands. I'm talking about the clapping of the mind, the clapping of the heart. He said, thy word was found. In other words, he recognized God was its author. Thy word. His respect and love for the Word of God was his priority. You know, I wish, and please take what I'm about to say right, God knows my heart. I wish churches would get as enthused about the Word of God as they do music. I say that to you this morning with love in my heart, and God knows I'm not being judgmental. But I see that. I wish the Bible would thrill us as much as a song does. I think we ought to applaud the Word of God too. That's what the prophet did. He applauded the Word of God. He said, thy word. I'll tell you, I remember Brother Cordell McCollum. I appreciated how Brother Cordell would occasionally clap his hands when the Bible was preached. And I missed that. He was applauding the truth of Scripture. That's what he's doing. That's what he was doing. When we applaud music, will we also applaud the Word of God? Doesn't necessarily have to be this way. It could be our heart pounding, clapping, clapping, clapping. I love it. I love the Word. And that's what the prophet was doing. You know how to applaud the Word of God? It's to accept it by faith. The Word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, Hebrews 4:2. The only way to really applaud the Word of God is to accept it by faith. Faith is the only proper way And by the way, this is, and I actually, if there's any originality, I think I may get the originality on this thought, but this did cross my mind when I studied for this message. Faith is the only proper way to applaud the Word of God. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The only way to be consistent and steadfast is to be exercising faith in the Word of God. It's the Bible applied that produces Christians. It's the Bible applied that promotes growth. Everything else in the church takes a back seat to Scripture. It's the Bible applied. Back to the Bible. God's Word can straighten up the mess in people's lives if they'll accept it. Too many have their eyes on the wrong things. They're confused where they stand. Lot's wife got confused. She looked back on Sodom and Gomorrah. It cost her a lot, didn't it? Like the man in the Civil War. I've used this illustration many times. Man in the Civil War had a ragtag uniform on of blue and gray. He got shot at from both sides. Some people are confused. And the reason why, they're not in the book. Some people are like a mule standing between two bales of hay at the same time and not knowing which bale to eat. He applauded the Word of God. Number two, he assimilated the Word of God. He ate it. He let the Word become a part of his being. He digested it. Now, my friend, I appreciate devotional guides. I love the Call to Glory devotional guide. In fact, I love it to the point where I'm a regular contributor to it. I think it's an excellent one. It's regularly used by our church. I appreciate so very much the fine articles posted in our newsletter. The devotional articles are so helpful and so beneficial. But could I say to all of us today humbly, we need more than a devotional thought to get us through the day. We need more than a tidbit to get us through our spiritual journey. We need to eat, to assimilate, to let God's Word permeate our beings. And that takes more than a verse for the day. Takes more. He applauded it. He assimilated it. He affirmed it. Joy and rejoicing. That's how we affirm it. Hey, when you see old sourpuss, long-faced looking people walking around, there's one thing for sure, they're not in the Bible right. Now, you can leave this service in one of two ways. You can go out of here saying the preacher was too negative. Or you can go out here saying, I needed what the preacher had to say. Because the shoe fit. I do believe this. We need, my friends, church members of Smith Grove Baptist Church, we need to get back in the Word. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Are you hungry today for the Word? Have you found it? Are you in it? Are you rejoicing in it? I never cease to be amazed at how precious the Bible is. I think if God blesses us, we ought to testify sometime in time. I got in my office a couple days ago, and I got to reading. In fact, we're going to be back in Jeremiah again tonight. And I got to reading, and just all of a sudden, while reading the Bible, and I want to mention something tonight that really thrilled me in my study this week of the Word of God. I mean, it was just as though God came down and just sat beside me right there in the chair and touched my heart. And I found myself that day in my study about 2 or 3 days ago sensing my Savior's love and appreciating His grace and thankful for His faithfulness to me more than I had seen for a long time. And you know what caused that? The Bible. I read a verse, and Jesus stepped out, and I'm going to show that verse to you tonight. Jesus stepped out of that page of Scripture and thrilled my heart. Back to the Bible. Could be some of you need to come forward at the invitation and say, Lord, I want to find the Bible. I want to get back to it. I haven't let it permeate my life like I should. I read it. I go to it. But is it really something you're eating? You're feeding upon the manna that's permeating your life and causing you to have joy. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's bow our heads in prayer.